it's great to have you here with us, those of us that are here in the East venue, those that are in the West, those of you who are at home. Man, we are so glad that you are here today. Let me tell you, if you haven't been in the last few weeks, let me kind of bring us up to speed. At the beginning of October, we started a series, we're calling it Supernatural, and today is week four, and we're going to close it up today. We've been talking a lot. We talked about the devil, we've talked about angels, we talked about the Holy Spirit, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about the devil again, but mainly about demons. Now, some of you right now are going, yeah, I should have stayed home. Or maybe you're at home and you're going, yeah, I'm going to turn this off right now. I mean, because it's like, demons, come on. But can I just remind you of something? If you believe that there is a God, then you have to believe also that there is a devil. And we have to then believe that what God tells us in his word is true, that there's also angels and there's also demons. And so today, that's what we're going to be looking at. In fact, I want to kind of start off with a story in Scripture and kind of walk us through it real quick. It's in the book of Mark, chapter 5, and here's what it says. It's talking about this. Boom. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man had lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. Just picture that, would you? I mean, they try to put chains on him, and they just couldn't hold it. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons of his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. In other words, he had supernatural power, something that a human couldn't do by themselves. So they couldn't subdue him. Then it goes on and says this, night and day among the tombs. Can you imagine living in the tombs in where, like a cemetery? That's just amazing. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stone. Now hold this here for a second. He cut himself. Isn't it interesting? 2,000 years later from this, people are still cutting themselves. I remember a number of years ago talking with the lady that came in, and she was talking about how she's cutting herself because she had a traumatic stuff in her life and when growing up as a kid and all that stuff. And this makes me feel better. Now, I honestly believe she probably believes that that is correct, that it made her feel better. But I'm going to tell you, this is what demons love to do. To take things to where we cut and mutilate our bodies, the body that God has given us, and hoping at some point maybe we'll just cut a little too deep and we will die. We're going to look about that a little bit later, but this is exactly what demons do. This guy had a demon in him, and he was cutting himself with stones. And then it goes on to the next part, and it says this. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and he fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus? What do you want with me, Jesus?" And then it goes on and says this. I think it does. There we go. Whew. I'm always ahead of you guys. Sorry, that's okay. Son of the Most High God, swear to me that you won't torture me. For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Now, let me just kind of paraphrase the rest of it. So Jesus, some of you know the story. So Jesus says to the demon that is inside this guy, he says, "What is your name?" And the demon responded back, "My name is," anybody know? "Legion." Legion, because there are many of us. In other words, this guy didn't just have a demon in him. He had demons in him. And then all of a sudden, you're going to see something crazy and amazing, and I can't even explain it. But all of a sudden, the demons realize that Jesus is going to cast them out of this guy. And all of a sudden, they start bartering with Jesus. "Hey, Jesus, don't just send us to the abyss. Let us go into something else." And all of a sudden, Jesus says, "Okay, go into those pigs." And all of a sudden, they go out of the guy, and the demons go into these pigs. Now, why did Jesus send them into pigs? I personally believe, this is just my thought, I personally believe is because there was no cats around. I think that's exactly why right there. Because if there was cats, you know, because cats are demon possessed. We know that, right? So that is why he probably sent in the pigs, because there's no cats around. So that's what he did. But here's the thing that I want to kind of be, I want us to think about this for a second. And I've had people ask me before this. Mark, do you believe in demons? And I always will say the same answer, yes, and I still believe it. And you're going to say, okay, yeah, I know why you believe in demons. It's because you know, the Bible talks about them. And well, that's one of them. That's one of the reasons. Because I believe that God was the one that orchestrated the Bible. Because it's a crazy, over 40 people, over 1,500 years, didn't even know each other, and yet the Bible still has the thread that God created us, God loves us, and there's a better place for us to go to. He sent his, I mean, the whole Bible from beginning to end just fits together perfectly. Yes, I believe that the Bible is true. Yes, I believe that God is the one that orchestrated it. And because of that, I believe when it talks about demons that they're real. But there's a couple of other reasons. There's a couple of experiences that I've had. One time, it's probably about 5 to 7 years ago. Woke up one night out of a dead sleep. I just woke right up, and I could feel that the room was different, that the air, the feeling of the room was different, and I knew that it didn't feel right. And because of that, I went to go try to sit up, and I couldn't sit up. It was like something was holding me, pushing me down, and I couldn't move my head. I mean, I was aware of everything. I knew my wife was over here. She's sleeping. She's snoring. Whatever. She's over here, right? And I'm trying to nudge her. I can't move a thing on my body to get her to move, to wake up. And so I'm sitting there. I can't move my legs, my arms, nothing. I'm laying there. I can't move my head. And all of a sudden, I thought, okay, I know what this is. The feeling and everything that's going on, it's a demonic attack that's right here in this room. And so I knew the answer of what to do is to cry out the name Jesus, because at the name of Jesus, they have to flee. And I start trying to talk, and I can't move. All I can get is, I can just get the J of Jesus out. I couldn't even say the word Jesus. And after a few seconds of that and realizing what's going on, all of a sudden, I had a thought come into my mind. Scream Jesus in your mind over and over. And I began in my mind just screaming the word Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And what felt like an eternity, but probably was maybe 2 minutes, all of a sudden, instantly, I could sit up, I could move, I could talk, and the room was back to its normal self. There was no weird feelings anymore. And I knew exactly what happened. I believe God spoke to me to say it in your mind. And as I began to kept calling out on Jesus, because I couldn't talk, but in my mind I could, I believe Jesus came into the room. God's presence came into our room. And again, when God shows up, the demons flee. Now this, I believe, is what happened. But let me give you another example. About 3 years ago, we had a family here in the church. They have since moved to Florida, but when they were they had their kids and they adopted some other kids, and they had a 3-story house. And they called me one day and said, "Would you and the pastors be willing to come out to our house and pray for us and pray over our house, because we have some shadow figures in our house?" So we went out there. I took the different pastors out there and heard their story. We anointed with oil their home, each of the family, each of the rooms of the door frames of the rooms. Some of the pastors went up to the third level. Some stayed on the main level, and some went down into the basement. Some of the other ones went around, just walked around the house, and we were all praying over different areas. And so one of the areas I went into was into the parents' bedroom, the master bedroom. Went in there and prayed, went in there to their bathroom and prayed, went into their master closet to pray. And while I was in their master closet, I just kind of got this, as I'm praying, I just got this weird kind of vibe thing going on. Went around, walked through other places of the house. One of the other pastors came up to me and said, "Hey, did you go into the master bedroom?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Did you go into the master closet?" And I said, Yeah. He said, did you feel anything weird? I said, yes. I said, did you? Yes. So I said, let's go back into that closet. And went in the closet and prayed, the two of us together prayed again in that closet and stuff. Then we went out and did some more praying and whatever. And then we gathered the family together towards the end. And I asked the parents, I said, did anything happen in your guys' closet? And they told us a few things that have happened in there. And it just fit right in with everything else. So here's where I'm looking at. I believe demons exist. And if you don't want to believe my story, why don't you watch any of those sci-fi channels that have, you know, all these where they're going after ghosts and things like that? Because you will see that as well. There are things beyond what we can see in the physical. There are things, in fact, if God were to open up our eyes right now, listen, I believe it would freak us out what we would see. I think we are going to see, we're going to see angels, we're going to see demons. If we could just walk through town and wherever we go, we could see in the spiritual realm, it would be a freakish thing because there is a war around us that we can't even see. These things, demons, these things are real. They actually truly exist. Now, Scripture actually doesn't tell us a whole lot about why and how, but that gives us, there's only like about two passages that kind of a little bit talks about what happened. And the reality is this, Satan wasn't always Satan. He was actually a beautiful angel in heaven, and his name was Lucifer. Another name with him was Morning Star. And he was an angel, and because of his beauty and his position, he came to the point where he felt like he could be God as well. And God was going, nobody can be like me. There is nothing like me. I am the one and only God. You, Lucifer, you cannot be that. And he thought, I disagree. I think I can be just like you. To which God says, if you want to be just like me and you think you can be a God like me, then this is not the right place for you. And he was kicked out of heaven. Now, let me give you a couple of passages real quick. One is in Isaiah. In Isaiah 14, it says this, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. Well, that's good. He thinks he can ascend to heaven. And then it goes on and says this, I will, now listen, this is how arrogant he became. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. In other words, I'm going to be higher than you, God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Ooh. And God's going, you're out of here, buddy. You're out of here, right? Get out. And I can't explain it, this next part, and I don't understand how this happened. But Scripture is very clear that when Satan left, a third of the angels, for some reason, followed him. And today, many theologians believe that is actually where the demons came from, is the fallen angels. Now, let me give you another kind of weird little passage about this. It's in Revelation. In Revelation, here's what it says. Revelation 12 says this, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon was Lucifer. They fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. This is what Scripture is telling you and I. He lost his place in heaven because he thought he could be God. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Crazy story, but I sometimes wonder, God, why didn't you put more detail, more passages about what happened? And I think the reason why there's only a couple is that because God's going, I gave you enough to understand. The reality is, I don't want you to follow this. I want you to follow me. I want you to understand that he is evil. I am good. He's the father of lies. I am the father of truth. And I want you to know me. I want you to love me. I want us to be in relationship. I want to redeem you. This is what I want. Don't worry about this guy. I want you to have a relationship with me. People oftentimes will say, Mark, do you believe in Demas? Yes. Do you believe that everything that's a problem that we have, a struggle that we have, do you think it's all about demons? Most of the time. But I don't know if it's all the time. Let me give you an example. For those of you that have kids or grandkids, and they, you know, they're playing and they're drawing on the walls, right? And they're saying no, no, and they're throwing things and all that stuff. It doesn't mean your kid is demon possessed. Okay? They just need a nap. That's all they need. They just need a nap, right? Your teenager starts talking smack to you, thinking that they know the world and everything. We are all there, right? Doesn't mean your kid has a demon in them, right? Just means they're a teenager. We've all done that. Some of us as adults still do that, right? I mean, that's just reality. But yes, I do believe that demons exist. Yes, I do believe that a lot of the struggles and the issues and the things that we deal with is because of demon activity. So let's take a look. What do demons do? Let's take a look at that. I want to give you, I think, about four things today. What do demons do? Well, let me give you the first thing. Demons influence leaders of nations. Demons influence leaders of nations. I'm going to tell you, if you want to try to change a whole bunch of group of people, the way to change the group of people is to change the leader. If you change the leader, especially of a nation, there goes the nation. Can I tell you, regardless of who is going to be our president, if it's going to be Trump or if it's going to be Biden or it's going to be Mickey Mouse, I don't care. But whoever it is, listen, whoever it is, if it's the person you vote for or the person you do not vote for. Either way, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, what you and I should do as followers of Jesus Christ is to pray for them. Because whoever becomes the president is going to have influence by demons to try to take this country off of where it's supposed to go and just mess up everything. And I'm going to tell you, this isn't just the United States. Demons affect the leaders of nations on all nations. This is what the enemy wants to do, wants to tear it down, to ruin each and everything. I mean, think about it. If you don't believe that this is true, just look at this last year. I mean, this last year we've been looking at going, why does our country, why is the world just seem to be so dark? Why is everything going off the rails? We can only say that's the pandemic so much. But everything else is just going crazy anymore. And we see it not just in the United States, but we see it also in other places. Demons influence leaders of nations. Let me give you an example in Scripture. There's a guy named Daniel who was a leader. And if you're here the first week, we talked a little bit about this story. But Daniel was a leader, and he prayed to God. And God did not seem to respond. And Daniel's like, what is going on? And all of a sudden, we read this passage of Scripture. And what we see in Scripture is that all of a sudden, when he was praying to God and he did not hear from God, all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, an angel shows up to him and says, Daniel, the moment you prayed, God heard your prayer and sent me to come to you with the answer. But, and then here, let me give you the verse. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. In other words, and we talked about this if you're here the first week, the Persian kingdom, this is a demon that is over an area, which tells me, and it's just crazy to even think about this, that Satan and his demons actually have a hierarchy. And one of them is over this area, and this angel was having to go through this area to get to Daniel, and instead it was in a fight for 21 days with this demon. Then Michael, which was an angel, then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia.
So in other words, what he's saying, the angel's going, hey, Michael, I've been fighting this for 21 days. You fight this guy. I got to get to Daniel with this message. I mean, this is just a weird story, but it shows that there is something more than what we just see. There are stuff around us at all time that we just don't understand. The enemy, demons, they love to influence leaders of nations. If you disagree with that, can I just remind you of Hitler? Right? I would say even people who do not believe there's a God would look at Hitler and say he had to be demon-possessed. If there's demons, then there has to be a God. This is something we need to take serious. Regardless of who will be the next president, can we pray for them? Because they're going to have influences that they cannot see happening around them. Let me give you a second thing. Second one is this. Demons want to inflict suffering on you. Demons want us to suffer. They want us to have these things happen. And I want to give you a story in Scripture. And before I give you the story, I want you to think about this. If you are a parent or if you are a grandparent, I want you to think, could be a boy or girl, doesn't matter, but I want you to think about if you're a parent or a grandparent, think about your child or grandchild, and think of them about like they're around 6 or 7 years of age, okay? Think about a child that you love that's around 6 or 7 years of age. Now, take a look at this story. In this story, we're going to see this in Matthew 17. Lord, have mercy on my son. This is a father that comes up to Jesus, and his heart is just wrenched, and he doesn't know what else to do. So he sees Jesus and says, Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. Very interesting. Why would he only fall into fire or into water? I wonder why. And then it goes on and says this. Jesus said, bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the what? Demon. And it came out of the boy, and he, the boy, was healed. I want to show you what stands out to me. This boy, whatever age he was, apparently had a demon in him because Jesus called him out and he left and the boy now was healed. But before that, when he had the demon in him, what was the demon trying to do? He was trying to kill this little kid by having him fall into fire and burn or fall into water and drown. If a demon wants to kill a little kid, what do you think he wants to do with you? Now, I'm not saying that to scare you, because I'm going to tell you, Scripture tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. So God is bigger than Satan. But here's the thing we have to understand. Why does the demons want to destroy us, to kill us? And we've talked about this in the first week. Because God loves us. And some of you right here, you may not even have a relationship with God. Some of you are kind of even questioning if God exists. Some of you online today, you may be just listening to this. You're thinking, well, it sounds like a fun thing just, you know, the week before Halloween to kind of listen about demons and stuff. I don't know about this God stuff, but I'm going to tell you, whether you believe in God or not, God loves you. God created you. He made you in his image. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin if you so choose to accept it. He's crazy about you. He's given you everything. He's given you everything. He loves you. Whether you love him back or not, he loves you. And the fact that he loves you, that God loves you, ticks Satan and the demons off. And because of that, they want to inflict us, they want to hurt us, they want us to suffer, and they want us to die. Wow. But God loves us. And God wants relationship with us. And God wants us to have this relationship, yes, now, yes, throughout the rest of our life, and yes, into eternity as well. Let me give you a third thing that demons do. Third things demons do is this. Demons try to lure you away from God. Demons love to try to lure you away somehow, some way from God. You know, we could try to be, you know, like, okay, churches are now open again, and so people are coming to church. That's awesome. That's great. And you start reading the Bible. You start like honoring God and stuff, and you're doing the best you can. You're like following God, doing stuff. But you know what demons do? They know, they understand. They know what tempts you. What tempts you may not tempt this other person, but it tempts you. They know that. And so all of a sudden you're going towards God, and they go, oh, look here, and they shake something over here, like, oh, something shiny, and you go over this way and stuff, and you leave God, right? This is what happens. I'm going towards God, but oh man, look at that cute girl. Look at that cute guy. I'd like to date him or whatever. Boy, I'd like to date him because, boy, maybe I could get him saved. You know, the only reason you want them to get saved is so you can date him. That's the only reason, right? You know, if they were ugly, you wouldn't care. You wouldn't care about them getting saved. But that's the reality. It's just about you. And that's what happens. We always look at the shiny things over here. We always look at what we want. Or, as we're going towards God, all of a sudden we go back into these addictions of pills, of porn, of whatever else. We go back into these things. Demons know how to lure us away because they watch us, they study us to see what our weaknesses are. That is exactly what they want to do. Let me give you a verse, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy says this, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Can I encourage you to not follow deceiving spirits or teachings from demons? There's a lot of weird teaching out in our world today. And it will take you anywhere but God. And if it's taking you away from God in any way, shape, or form, can I tell you, deceiving spirits, demons, that is what's happening. This is not God's heart for you. This is why God puts us in the Bible. This is why we need the Bible. Because when we read this, we realize, whoa, that's a warning. I need to watch out for this. Oh, I don't believe that. Okay, if you don't believe it, then you're starting to follow deceiving spirits, because they're deceiving you. God can't lie. God always speaks the truth. And as he speaks the truth, he's saying, this is the truth. I'm warning you because I love you. I've given you everything and I want to give you the truth. There's deceiving spirits out there. And you need to know about it because they're going to talk to stuff that's going to sound good to you. But when you really kind of dig deep, you go, well, wait a minute, this is taking me away from God. Oh, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. This is what God's called us to do. Let me give you another one. Number four, what else do demons do? Demons want to paralyze you with fear. That's what happened that night when I woke up and I couldn't talk, I couldn't move, I couldn't do anything like that. But here's the thing. We have so many things, it seems like, that we have to be worried about. We're concerned. We have fears. We have fears about our kids. We have fears about their schools. We have fears about our jobs, about our finances, about our health, about our loved ones' health, about our money. Are we going to be able to actually retire at some point? How's our marriage doing? How's my spiritual condition with God doing? I mean, on and on and on. We have problems, and we fear, and we are concerned, and we're worried. And the enemy loves that. And God says, you know, I told you many times in the Bible, don't worry. Trust me. Trust me. But for some reason, we say we trust God, right? But honestly, we only really trust ourselves. And we want to do everything that we can. And the enemy loves it because that's when the fear happens, because we know we can't do it all. And we're like, how am I going to do all this? How am I going to do all this? And all of a sudden, fear and worry, and the enemy loves to do that for you and I. 2 Timothy, let me give you a verse.
In 2 Timothy, it says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Can I tell you, a spirit of fear, that is a real spirit. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is what God has given us. Power, love, sound mind. That's what he wants you and I to have. So let me ask you, how did Jesus fight Satan? Because in case you don't know a whole lot about the Bible, when Jesus came to earth at around age 30, when he was about age 30, he started his earthly ministry. And when he began to start it, Satan came to him. And Satan tempted him in different ways. In one of those ways, he said to him, he says, I want you, Jesus, I want you to take these rocks, and if you really are the Son of God, I want you to turn them into bread, because I know you're hungry, and I know that you can just make this rock into bread, and you can eat it. That'd be awesome. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said this. He said, it is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, every time Satan was trying to tempt Jesus, every time, how did Jesus fight him? It was with the written word. It was with the written word. It was the scriptures. It was the Bible. It was the written word. By the word of God. That's how he did it. Jesus didn't put up his fist. Jesus didn't do his power stuff. He just said, no, God's word is power enough. By the written word of God. And so Jesus says, no, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is written. Then the second one is this. Then Satan gets kind of scared, takes off, comes back a little bit later and says, hey, Jesus, why don't you get on this high part right here and jump off? And I know if you really are the Son of God that your Father is gonna send angels to catch you before you hit the ground, and that'll just prove to everybody that you are who you say you are. And what did Jesus do? In verse 7 it tells us what he did. It says, Jesus says, it is written. It is written. Thou shalt not put the Lord your God to the test. It is written. He didn't zap him. He didn't do it. He just written. God's word is enough. That's the power right there. Then at the very, so he leaves. Then he comes back again to Jesus and he goes, hey, Jesus, I got one more for you. If you were just, and this is the, he always waits till the end for really what he wants to do. Hey, Jesus, if you would just worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. And now he knows he's the Son of God, but he also knows he's Son of God in the flesh. He's human. And he's going, okay, I'm going to try to tempt him. Here's that shiny thing. Hey, if you worship me, I'll give you all of these kingdoms. And what happened? How did Jesus respond? This is how he responded in verse 10. Away from me, Satan. For it is what? Written. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Right there. Jesus had the power of God, and he didn't even use it. All he did is he said, he just quoted scripture. That's all. And if the Son of God can do that, guess what you can do? We have the same scriptures. We can. Well, that's why we need to know the scripture, hide them in our heart. That is it. So as we wrap up, real quickly, how do you and I battle Satan? Jesus did it by the word, right? The written word. That's one way that we can do it as well. Know God's word. But let me give you a couple of other things. One is this. There's a verse in James. In James 4, 7 through 8, it says this. And this is a great verse for you to know, to highlight, to memorize. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Now, hold this here for a second. Again, if you're a part of C3 or for any length of time, this is what I would call one of those when-then statements. When we do this, God promises he will do that. So this, when we submit ourselves to God, and when we resist the devil, then the devil will flee from us. When we come near to God, then God will come near to you. These are promises, and I'm going to tell you, there's a whole bunch more when and then verses in Scripture. But this one is one of the ways where we fight the enemy. When we do our part, when we submit to God, when we resist the devil, then the devil leaves from us. When we come near to God, then God comes near to us. Do you want to know how to fight the enemy? It's through the written word, and it's through James 4, 7 through 8. This will help every one of us if we would gather this, if we would actually take it for granted and say, I am going to do this. So how do we apply this message? Well, a couple different ways. Number one is by doing this verse that we just talked about, James 4, 7, and 8. Highly recommend that for each and every online and all the venues. I want you to encourage you to do that. Another one is this. Is on our C3 app, we have a thing that we just added. We call it a prayer walk. Now, I don't know about you, but during this pandemic stuff, my wife and I, we've been walking all for months around our neighborhood and stuff. But we've added onto our C3 app, one of the tiles there you press is a prayer walk. And it'll tell you different things to be praying about. Can I tell you, it'd be great, as we are walking around our neighborhoods and stuff, just be praying for your neighbors and different things on that tile there. It'll tell you things to pray about for your neighbors, for our cities, for our world. Just all sorts of different things. But pray as you walk along. Pray as you're walking. And here's the thing. Because as we pray, I'm going to tell you, your neighbors may not know Jesus. And if he were to come today or they were to die today, they would spend eternity away from God. But as you walk and you're praying and you're going by these houses and you're praying, you may know the people in there, you may not, but God, those people in there, they need to know you. I pray that you would help them. And all of a sudden, you're beginning to do battle in the spiritual realm. And you're trying to help others to come to know Jesus. You're trying to take back what is God's that Satan has taken away. This is something we can just simply do to help others in our neighborhood as we begin to pray and take it seriously. Let's pray. So, Father, right now, I'm so thankful that you are a great God. I'm so thankful that you love us. Whether we love you back or not, I thank you that you love us and you want the best for us. And you show us in Scripture exactly what happened. You show us that Satan was full of himself. He wanted to be like you, but there's no way he could. And because of that, everything changed. And Father, I just pray this, that you would help us to be able to do what we said today. Know the written word. Speak the written word from Scripture. To remember that verse in James and to apply that. Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize that greater is you that is in us than he that's in the world. God, you are the only God. We know that, we believe it, we trust that, and we thank you that you as God wants to know little old me. You want to know us. Why? I don't know, but thank you that you do. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you care for us. And Lord, today, for those of us who know you, we want to recommit to you. God, we love you. We trust you. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you are doing. And for those that are on the fence or those who don't know you, Lord, may they hear today this message and realize that there is a battle in the spiritual realm for their soul. And I pray for those that do not know you yet. Today may be their day. As they pause and they simply bow their heart and say, God, I need you. I cannot do this life on my own anymore. I need you. So, Lord, they're asking for your forgiveness and they're asking you to have this relationship with them now. And we celebrate those that are doing that today. They have crossed over from death to life. And we celebrate those decisions today. And we say thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, real quick today, before we go into our last song, if you said yes to Jesus today, would you text the number on your screen, whether you're in person or online? And we're going to send you some videos this week to help you understand what your decision was and to begin to grow in a relationship with God. Now, everyone, let's stand up and let's have a great time as we close out today.